This is Larry Greer, speaking on behalf of the Rossi Living Museum. I'm here with Mr. Guilford Roberts on May 16th, 2007. Now, Mr. Roberts, I'll just throw a few questions at you, and as you think of something to talk about in those areas, you feel free to talk away. Where were you born?
I was born right here.
Okay.
The house sit right out in front of this one that burned.
So, and this area here, you won't operate the store here for years, but was this, it's now part of Quispam Sis, or back before that was Unalaq Point.
Right.
But at one point, was it not part of Fairvale?
We always said we're in Fairvale, but actually Fairvale ended just this side of the, and there was never any line.
Okay. Okay, so although everybody kind of felt like they were in Fairvale or said they were, probably weren't.
If you asked us where we lived at that time, we would have said Fairvale.
Okay.
And up at this little church up here, from there on up, you figured you were in Gondola Point.
Okay, right on, gotcha. So, you were born and raised here.
Yeah.
And if I'm allowed to ask you, when were you born?
January the 7th, 1917.
1917. So, your family then was from here.
Yes.
Did your parents live here?
My father had a blacksmith shop and a machine shop right off by the road here.
Okay.
He was a blacksmith and a machinist. He used to be a machinist in St. John, and later he had a blacksmith shop here. He done some type of, some small machine work. Other blacksmiths used to bring things for him to do that they could do the blacksmithing, but he had to do certain things.
Okay. So he had a blacksmith shop, and then you had a home or a house here as well.
Right here where this, just in front of where this one is. And my grandfather run the summer hotel next door. The store was a summer hotel.
Was that called the Hillhurst House?
Hillhurst House, yes.
I got some notes here about that.
Yeah, right.
Now, let me just see if I've got names right, but your grandfather would have been Thomas Roberts?
Thomas, yeah.
And your father would have been Walter Roberts?
That's right.
Okay, yeah,
yep.
I'm on the right track here.
Yeah.
Now, and some of these notes could have been maybe do you have a sister named Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay, that's some of this came from somebody wants to talk to her at one point and got some of these notes.
Well, she lived out in St. Martin's.
Okay.
She was married to Eric McHugh.
McHugh, yes, that's the name here.
Yeah.
So, the Hillhurst House, which was owned by your grandfather.
Grandfather, yeah.
Dates back quite some time.
Yeah.
Now, did he always own it, do you know? Or?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so he would have had it built or built?
He had it built. Now, there's a story there. He ran a hotel of sorts, not one where you just came in for the night, but a hotel where retired people lived in Boston.
Oh, yes.
And what they built this one for, it must have been quite well-to-do people, and they would come here in the summer, and that's what they built this hotel for. And then they would have a big common area down on the shore where there's a big grove of trees and lovely spot down there.
It was a summer area. So those people that stayed here for the summer now, would they move back to?
They went back to Boston.
Okay, for their winter.
And later, after he either sold or gave up the hotel in Boston, he moved here, and then he started keeping people who would again be living there full time.
Okay.
And they lived. It kept operating until my grandmother died, and then we moved over into that hotel building at that time.
Okay.
But there was still a couple of women. And one was a Miss Earle. That's the only one I remember particularly. There was a couple of women still living there then. And Miss Earle moved down to Rossi and lived with Mrs. Joe Henderson.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You know where Joe Henderson built those big houses in Rossi.
Yeah.
And where the Henderson farm is, that was Jim. That was his brother.
Okay.
And right down there, you know where the old house is still there.
Yeah.
Way in the back of that end driveway.
So, there was you had a blacksmith shop, and your grandfather had the Hillhurst house.
Yeah.
How did the grocery business come into play?
Well, they had there was a little store set on the side, and my grandfather run a little store.
Okay, so he had a store along with the
Hillhurst. That's right,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha, yeah. Right. So you took over from your grandfather the grocery business?
Yes, right.
And carried on for many years in the grocery business. Well known and respected in the area.
Well, and then when I built a service station there, and we had to take where the store set, we wanted to put the service station. And that's when we put the store in the front of the hotel building.
It was, okay, yeah.
And we had to take 14 rooms off the back of that hotel. and this store now had 14 rooms on. But
so the existing store as it stands today,
right, was
is
a hotel.
Actually part of that original Hillhurst.
It's the original part of the house.
So it has a lot of history behind it.
Yes, it has.
So I think I saw a date here somewhere. Is it, we're talking about 1896.
Yes, before my time.
Yeah, it was your sister that somehow come up with that date, I believe.
That
building
right.
was erected. So.
Right.
And back in those days, I guess there was some boats that would come up the river for.
The boats ran on the river till 1916.
Okay. So that's how your grandfather probably would have received stock and
that's
stock
how
the
they
store.
Got, that's how they everybody got their. There was a wharf right down here behind the store.
And that was called the Hillhurst Wharf.
Well, we always called it Robert's Wharf, but it could have been called Hillhurst Wharf.
Okay. Yeah, I just somebody mentioned Hillhurst Wharf here. I'm
well, it could have been. I never heard that. I never heard okay. called that. We always called it Robert's Wharf.
Yep, a couple of the big steamers that would come up in those times were the Majestic and the Hampton there.
The Hampton was the last on this river.
Yeah.
She was a side wheel. Hampton was a side wheel.
A side paddle.
Paddle wheel on
yep.
the side of her.
Yep.
I have seen her in St. John, pictures of her in the market. Fellow that used to be around the stall in the market had pictures of it.
So, having said all that, then you've lived here all your life.
Yeah.
You had a family of your own that grew up here?
Just one girl.
That was Barb.
Barbara,
yes. Yeah. Yep. And when she married, she even had a house they built and lived next door here.
Well, bought a house that had been owned by the Webbs, Webb Electric.
Oh, yes.
And they had a summer house over here, and I bought that for her and fixed it. I made it over to year-round.
Yep.
And it's still there. What's his name? Wilson.
Okay, yep. I know the house. I didn't know the latest residence. But
Wilson lives in it now. Keith Wilson.
And your grandchildren still live around the area?
They all lived here. John lived here till he moved to the Reach, and Carolyn lives on the Mullet property up on Lionel Drive in Point.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Susan lives down here.
Yeah, the Wilson house.
Well, it was Wilson. Okay. It used to be Bishop.
Okay.
It was a summer house owned by the bishops. And
any relation to the bishops, like Bill Bishop?
No. These were from St. John, and they just were there in the summertime. And I told you that the ball field was right opposite that way to the back end of that field.
You had mentioned that to me one time, and that was news to me. That's the first time
I heard that.
So
you had a big grandstand behind it.
Yep.
So would seat 100 people or more.
The Fairville Outing Association had sponsored a ball team from Fairville.
Well, that's where the ball teams came from all over, in Nouidjiwok and Hampton and Sussex and St. John. They would come out here to this ball field.
And play in that field that's now where Dobson Lane is today.
That's right. I have an idea that the property belonged to somebody by the name of McClellan.
Okay.
And there's that white house that's there on out near the road. That was their summer house.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not sure of this, but I have heard that he was the fire marshal for the province.
I'll have to check on that now. That's
McClellan.
McClellan, okay. I'll have to do a little research into that.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm 100% right on that, but that was his property. John Dobson bought it. That's where it gets the name Dobson.
Dobson had a small farm there.
He was a shop teacher for school in Hampton.
Okay.
And he bought.
Yep, I do remember. So that you, having run a grocery business in the area and a service station as well, you got to know an awful lot of people from the community, you know.
Knew anyone who lived in this community and most everyone who come across the river.
I think at one conversation we had, you mentioned you knew everybody from the ferry to the underpass.
That's right. And most of the people living on the Kingston Peninsula. This was the only way they could get to St. John when they crossed the ferry. They had to go this road.
So they would be coming by your
right.
your business.
Yeah.
I think what else? So you've seen an awful lot of change. In the area over the years. The train didn't run so much up this far as it did probably to Fairville Station. But
well, if you must realize that this is not the main. This was not the main highway.
Yes, the Hampton Road.
The Hampton Road and the Pettingill Road and the Vincent Road were the main highway.
Okay.
Now the Stagecoach Road, or they called it the Post Highway in those days, came from St. John to Rossi. Went up to what's now the Pettingill Road. It turned in the Pettingill Road. Then it just went in a short distance and it turned back and came out here onto the Jones Road, which is just inside of this road on the Vincent Road.
Yeah.
Come out the Jones Road and out the Vincent Road and back on what's the Quispam Sis Road and up the Meehan Cove Road. That's the main stagecoach road.
That was the main travel.
Post Road, they called it.
Interesting. Yes, sir.
Now, I didn't really know that until an argument come up about using that Jones Road. And this John Dobson, who owned that, he cut lumber back there on a property that belonged to Fred Henderson. And he was wanting to haul it out there, and Jones wouldn't let him come down through that road. And he went to Gordon Fairweather, and they found out it originally was a post highway.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a designated highway, or,
It was the post highway.
Yeah, so Mr. Jones didn't have any authority to stop them.
Absolutely none.
That's interesting.
And that's how it come to where we looked to see. But away back on that road, away back, we used to have a log cabin, a bunch of us from down in Fairvale. And it's on the back end, that Hillhurst property across the road here goes right back to that.
Okay.
And that's where log cabin was. And just beyond this property over on the next one, there's old foundations.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes, there's old rock foundations over there.
Huh. So that would be before you got to the tracks, if you were going.
Yes, the railway tracks are just down back beyond them. Down behind that property that Fred Henderson owned, a piece of ground back there.
Yeah. In your time, we would have been more into motorized vehicles than horse and buggy.
But then I remember when we used to run a service to take people to the train at Fairvale, and we had a big wagon affair that had seats, could sit about eight people, and run it back and forth from this area to Fairvale Station, and took them down in the morning and met the train again at supper time and brought them back.
Interesting.
Now, some of my older brothers drove that, but I never did. But I remember the wagon, and
so there would have been a meeting, and I think they called that train the Jitney, did they not?
I've heard that, but I think that was later.
Okay, all right.
There was a train that went at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was a train went at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then a couple through the day. Then one came at 5 o'clock at night, and another came at 6 o'clock at night, bringing the people back and forth.
And that's how most of them would travel back and forth.
Oh, yes.
St. John. Yeah.
I remember when the first bus service come here, it was called St. John Motor Line.
Yes.
And it turned here at the Shipyard Road.
Yeah.
That's as far as they came.
Now, what, can you give a date that that would have first started?
Golly.
Be talking in the 40s or 30s?
Oh, back in the 30s.
Okay.
Yes. This Elizabeth that you were mentioning there, she went back and forth on this bus to work in St. John, and I was born 17, so I don't know if she was only in her late teens when she would be traveling on that bus.
Okay, so it's the bus had been running here for quite some time. Because I remember when I was growing up in the 50s, the
bus service
almost every hour.
That's right.
High,
yes, these buses came every hour, and there was one in between the hour in the morning, and again in the evening to take the people back and forth.
To load the people back
and forth. And later they started the service on to Gondola Point.
Yeah, it seemed to me at that particular time, and that's what I remember, was in the 50s and 60s, that the one bus would come up and turn to the shipyard, the next one would go to the ferry.
Yeah.
It would alternate track.
But for years, none of them went beyond the Shipyard Road. In fact, that Mayor Rossi, Bill Bishop, his father was one of the drivers.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yep.
Fred Bishop was the driver on those buses. Later worked for years in the office of the SMT.
Interesting as well, his son Fred became a bus driver.
Is that
next generation? Yeah, he just, I remember Fred.
Oh, is that so?
He drove a bus for years and years. Yeah.
Yes, well, his father was a bus driver. How they happen to be down around here, they were from Chipman.
Oh, yes.
And in fact, his brother Russell was mayor of Chipman, but their father was a lumberman, and he had a big cut down in this area somewheres, and they were down here for about 2 years, and they moved the family down. Do you know the house that Angus King bought up here?
No.
No. Well, the next one up sits up in the hill, a little one, Len Marr lived in it. That's where they lived for a couple of years.
Okay.
And Fred married a coach girl, and Harold married a mullet girl, and Elsie married a Bob Marr from here.
Yes.
Well, then the family moved back to Chipman, but that's how they happened to be down around here.
Yeah.
They had got married and stayed down here.
Yes, sir. Interesting. You may have, but there was a shipyard down here in Fairville way back in the
1800s. That was before my time.
But
I'll tell you what was it there that I remember was there was two big warehouses set. That brook was big, and shipyard must have been up in the mouth of that big brook that used to there.
Okay.
It's no brook there now, but it used to be a big brook there, and that must have been where the shipyard was, because there was two big warehouses set in that field. There's houses on it now, but it was just vacant
field
there.
The field on the Shipyard Road.
Yes, at the bottom of the Shipyard Road, on the left-hand side going down, there was two big warehouses.
So they'd be somewhere as Harry Arnold had property there for a while.
Down below that.
Down below, okay.
Yeah.
Right near the corner, Ernie Clark had the property right on the corner. Oh, you're down across the...
On down below Ernie Clark's,
okay,
yeah.
Yep, I know what you mean now.
Joe Cosman used to have a summer house there, and this field from there to the shore was vacant, but there was two warehouses, and those warehouses were used by the woolen mills at Golden Grove.
Oh, really?
And they would bring the yarn in, and it was in big gunny and big burlap wrapped sacks, and they would store them in those warehouses, and a three-masted schooner would come once a year and lay offshore, and they'd take a barge and take it out and load that schooner. He'd be there 2 and 3 days.
Oh, yes, okay. Yep.
And that yarn came in from the woolen mills at Golden Grove.
Well, interesting.
There was two woolen mills at Golden Grove. One was the mill to make the woolen, and the other was a carding mill, whatever carding means, I suppose, putting it on together in skeins.
Yep, okay.
I don't know, but there was two woolen mills there.
Oh, Interesting. So they used the, what used to be part of the shipyard, once it stopped being a shipyard, they
to
used
to store
the,
that.
Yeah.
And the schooner would be in there, and I remember the captain on the schooner, his name was Earl, Captain Earl.
So that would have been probably in the 20s or early
30s? In the 20s, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. That schooner would come and load up with that yarn and sail away.
Some of the properties in the shipyard road were owned, and I think further up, were owned by the shipyard. I think the big house that Dave Hoyt had there was...
That was Carter's. Okay. That was Ed Carter's house.
But was it originally a Titus...
As long as I've ever known, it was the Ed Carter house.
Carter, yeah.
And all that property there, and there was a big boarding house on this side where Paul Curry lives.
Yes.
There was a big, huge boarding house there where the shipyard workers lived.
Okay. Any idea what happened? I see it's not there anymore. I mean,
Well, it was torn down, and then Hedley Curry built that house right there on the property.
Yeah.
But it was all that property was owned by Ed Carter.
Okay.
And Dave Hoyt's, that's where Ed Carter lived.
Okay. Yep. I remember it being called the Carter House, but I never really
knew
the history.
Yeah, well, he was... The main thing I remember about him was, I don't know what his main business was, but what he never was worked away off of that when I was around, but he was the head of the Liberal Party for this area,
okay.
And they used this house for offices.
Oh, really?
Oh, there was about 16 bedrooms in it,
yeah.
And there was a main room, I suppose, for people to sit around, and then there was, behind that, there was a dining room and a kitchen, and it was a huge, big building. A lot of the lumber is built into some of these houses around here. One of them was up on that Jones Road. Gordon Mullett built it, and a lot of the lumber in that house came out of that building, and those other houses on up here, Harmon Saunders tore it down. Yeah, that was, see, the Carter property also ran down the shore, but then the Gale property, what is now Francis Avenue.
Yes.
You would remember probably when Francis Avenue was put through there.
Yep. And
but on the other end from the Carter Road on down, that was all summer houses.
Okay.
There was a lot of summer houses down there.
Yep. I guess that's really what Fairville originated from, was a few farms and some summer cottages.
Right.
And it built up from
There was tennis courts in that road down from the shipyard road going down the shore. There was tennis court there.
Oh, was that right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Had wire fence around it. In fact, I think Phil Hurst has the area where the tennis courts were.
Okay, yep. I know the area you mean down there.
Yep. But where that name Francis Avenue gets its name is from Mrs. Gale's daughter.
Yes.
She lived in Fredericton. Her name was Ruth Likely's sister. Her name was Francis.
Yeah, that's, I remember my dad talking about that, and the fact they actually diverted that road a little bit. Dwight McGee built that big house on
that's
the,
right.
the upper corner.
That's the first one that was built there, yeah.
Have you ever heard the term Armstrong Crossing?
Armstrong? Crossing.
Somebody told me at one point that they thought Old Fairville Station used to be Armstrong Crossing before it became Fairville, and I've yet to find anybody who really can substantiate that.
No, I can't remember that.
Okay.
I remember Billy McElwain that run the big store there.
Yes, and the post office.
And the post office, yeah. And he bought a Model T truck with seats in the back and to take over this driving people to work.
Oh, yeah.
But he used to go over by to the railway station or to the stairs coming down. The passengers got on. He had to come across into his yard by the store, turn the truck around and back it up the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn around and go because it was vacuum tank bin.
Yeah, the Model T's were famous for that. Yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
If you tried to drive up, you'd run out of fuel before you get to the top.
That's right, because the vacuum tank couldn't run the fuel in. The tanks for them were under this front seat.
Yeah, well, that's... I know exactly what you're talking about because we left that fire truck we have up at the station, the Model T. And it's
right.
Feet.
The vacuum tank fit.
There used to be a post office up here, actually two, the one you just talked about, but there was another one right here at the top of the
right,
shipyard.
Right across from the shipyard road. that house is for sale now.
Yeah.
That was the Cathelines, and it was a brother and sister, Maggie and Alec Cathelines. And they come off of the island.
Okay.
The Cathelines were one of the families that used to be on the island. Used to be a lot of families on that island.
Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I remember when there were 6 or 8 farms on that. And Cathelines lived behind the minister's face, and that's them there. There was 2 or 3 families of Cathelines lived on it.
So that probably would be the post office that you people would use.
That's right. All the time we...
Business and mail.
Yeah. It was moved from there down to Dyckman's and then down to Breen's. Well, those Breen's come off of the island.
Yes, Mort Breen.
Yeah,
yes,
he comes off the island. He was the last of the big farms that left the island. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was Fairvale Post Office, what it was called. The one at the station was called Fairvale Station.
Yes.
And this one was called Fairvale Post Office.
And they eventually closed this one out, but the one at Fairvale Station stayed on for a number of years.
Quite a while.
It was Gertrude, Bishop ran it towards the end down there.
Oh, Gertrude McElwain, when she moved out of the store, she moved up into that house at the what you call Ballpark Road.
Yes.
She built a house there, and she took the post office in there until she must have given it up. And Benny Hamilton bought the store.
Yes.
And how Bishop comes in there. And this is one of the bishops that lived in the summer house that was up here.
Oh, yes.
That's
okay.
One of them.
Okay, yep.
And
he married into the Hamilton.
He married a Hamilton girl, and that's where they got into the store business.
Okay, yep. Now, up in behind them was the Fairvale Hunting Association, the clubhouse. And
just up at the top of the hill was the old clubhouse, big old rambling building with a big front rand on it.
All I can remember about it is when it caught fire back in the early 70s.
Oh,
it was a major fire for us to
have. Oh, is that so? I didn't know that it burned.
Yeah.
But the Outing Association built a new building. They're still there, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you weren't involved with the Outing Association?
Just as a kid hanging around.
Okay.
There was dancing going on and different things going on there.
They started like in 1919, I guess, was their original start for the Outing Association.
I don't doubt
it. As you were growing up as a young fellow, they'd be active and had dances. And
quite active, mostly dancing, yeah.
They used to run I think it started after the war maybe, but they used to run a fair.
Oh,
an annual fair.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But now, years ago when I was growing up, the kings from the city, they had dance halls and things, and they had the summer house right down here. And on the top of their summer house, they had a dance floor, and they used to bring orchestras out here and invite their friends.
Oh, is that right?
And that was right down in back here. In fact, the old store is down there now as a summer house. The other old summer houses are gone. One of the summer houses that was on this side of it down there, the people came from Boston every year, and their name was Payne. Payne, yeah. Pine. Pine.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Pine. I don't know just how they spelled it, but they came from Boston every year to this summer house.
So they had an outside dance hall on this place you're talking about down here.
On top of their summer house.
Yes, sir.
They had this dance hall, and they used to bring orchestras out, and I don't think it was paid thing. I think it was just for their friends.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So you would have dealt with most of the families of Fairvale and Gold Point both, I guess.
Yeah.
With your business. And there's probably, there's going to be some interesting stories of some of the residents that you had in the store from time to time. I was reading something one time that Mr. McKean had written. Obviously, your store would have been a focal point for conversations, and the residents, they'd probably meet there sometimes.
Well, this was before it got to be busy.
Yes.
When there was nobody living around here and only summer residents. All these houses all over here were all summer residents. And even the next ones up in where those doctors and things live now, they were just summer residents. That was Garson's. Mm-hmm. And then Max Sarisky, who had a store on Main Street, he lived there. And Doherty's and Lawler's, they were all just summer houses.
Yeah. So wouldn't be near as many residents in the area in the winter as there were in the summer.
No, oh no, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
So some of the Saunders and those other families that lived out here would.
Yeah, there's a lot.
They must have congregated in the store from time to time.
Yeah, quite a lot of the Saunders lived up further up, and they used to go to the Perry Saunders store.
Oh, okay.
And it used to be called Flewellings.
And where was it at?
Let me see now. How you? Do you know any of the ones living up there? Do you know where Splane lives?
No.
You don't know where young Maxwell lives?
Eric Maxwell?
I think that's his name.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's where the store was.
Oh, okay.
Where his
house. Right on the Goodall Point Road there.
Yep,
right?
That's where his house was. And it was, before Perry Saunders, it was called Flewellings. And that wharf that was there was called Flewellings Wharf.
Oh, so there's a wharf up there as well?
Right above it, there's an old, you can still see pieces of the old wharf there on the shore. That was Flewellings Wharf. And this was Flewellings Store. And it was a huge store. Now, I don't remember. When I remembered, Perry Saunders operated it.
Yeah.
But apparently this Flewelling was the major thing, and the people would come and get their freight and stuff, and he had a major store,
yeah.
And the freight came on the boats.
So the same boat that was bringing produce and so on up the river that stopped here for the store that,
yep.
that your grandfather ran would have also
yep.
probably unloaded supplies for the Flewelling.
On up there, yes. Those river boats came up and they stopped at this wharf, and then they went across the river and went between the islands.
Yes.
And there was wharves on both sides there. One was for Mather's Island, which was a boys' home.
Okay.
The Reverend Mather's operated a summer home over there for the boys of the Wiggins Home for Boys. And that's where their summer house was, and there used to be two big dormitories on that island.
So would this be orphans?
Well, they
children,
were Wiggins Boys for Home in St. John, was run by Reverend Mathers. And later, John and his mother lived there every summer in one end of these old dormitories. They kept one end of it going. And you would have known John Mathers on Grove Avenue.
Trying to relate to the name sounds familiar, but I can't.
Well, when you go up Grove Avenue, there's after you got past the McAvities, there was a little street went down like that. Mathers and this Andy Harrington lived in there,
yes,
too.
Yes, I know where you mean.
Yeah, well, that was the Mathers.
On the hill, though.
And John and his mother spent their summers over here. They used to row across to get their groceries and things.
Okay, yep.
And
so they get their groceries from you?
They'd come across with their rowboat and get groceries and things. But they spent their whole summer there, him and his mother.
Yes.
I never knew the father.
No.
And then the boat would go on across to Moss Glen. Then it would go on up, and the next stop would be Clifton.
Yep.
And then it would come across to this Flewellings Wharf.
Okay, so that's about as far up as it would go.
But the boat went right to Hampton.
Oh, okay, so it did, okay.
But after it left there, it would stop at Perry's Point, and Willows, and then on up to, or across to Reed's Point, and then the Willows, and then it would go on up to Perry's Point, and then up through the channels to Hampton. See, there was no way for it to get out of those channels after it
yeah.
left Perry's Point. It's all just marshland.
Yeah. Yeah, not too much has changed. It's still that way.
Yes, that's
right.
Yeah. It used to be a ferry there at Perry's Point for years. Lamb,
yes.
Purse Lamb ran a ferry there.
There was a bridge across there at one point.
At one point, old you can still see those old buttons under the water in the summertime.
Yeah. Now, what was the story? Somebody told me one time, and I've forgotten now, but something happened to that bridge. Did the ice take it out? Perhaps?
Ice took it out in 1916.
Okay.
Yeah.
So rather than rebuild it, they just let it, and they started doing ferry then instead of...
That's right.
Yeah.
And then a man named Purse Lamb, his son run Lamb Ford in Sussex, and he worked for Downey's in St. John before that, and his father run that ferry for years.
So obviously it wasn't a government-run thing, so you must have had to pay a...
You paid a fee. You had to pay a fee at the one here at Gundle Point, too.
Oh, okay.
Now, in my time, if you lived on the peninsula, no, this is after the government took it over, but before that, it was a little fee, and I remember we had to pay 15 or 20 cents, something like that, to cross that ferry. But when the government took it over, if you lived on the peninsula, the ferry was free.